Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Fan After Dark is coming up 7 to 11 here on a Friday night. I do spot one Fred, so he'll be in for you. Who else we got working with you this evening? Elliot.
Nice. Elliot, a.k.a. Blake.
Sounds great.
Yep. All otherwise right. known as the Fan Phenom.
Yeah, the Phenom will be in here before too long. We'll
borderline
have cross-talk
top five
with
them. Elliot.
Coming up at 6:40. And right now, it's time for a Zach Wolchuk Chuck Wagon. Zachary?
All right, here's your update. So there's no Kyrie tonight. He's sick. But
yikes,
PJ Washington will be playing tonight against the Cleveland Cavs, according to Jason Kidd. So that's great news because I'm with you guys. When we saw PJ leave the game, I was, oh no, is this about to be like a multi-week injury here with that sprain? But he's going to be good to go tonight, so that's huge. At least you get PJ in there. No Kyrie, no
Luka. I think you could win. You have enough creativity. Guys are going to have to make shots, but between Marshall, Grimes, PJ, Hardy, you have firepower.
So we still don't have Najee, unfortunately. I think this is the last game of the suspension.
All right.
Think this is the last one. I thought he would be back tonight, too, but I miscounted, and that happens a lot to me. I mean,
still have enough firepower.
You do. I'm with you. I mean, maybe you need a Hardy party night. Like, you need Jaden or Dinwiddie, like, Grimes. One of these
there
guys
you
has to get hot. You know, you still have enough from your guards. You just need one of them to really just catch fire, get a good shooting night here. But PJ back, that's at least a huge win.
This is a pun on PJ night for me. You just have to chalk this one up to an L. Kyrie's not playing. Luka's not playing. He's dealing with a knee sprain.
You know what I want to leave in 2024? Your damn negativity, all right? Yeah.
We'll
this
see
is a punt on PJ
game,
night.
Dude.
Are you kidding
me? My goodness.
You play
man.
To win the game.
All right. Well, I guess you want to see the Cowboys win Sunday.
You play to win the game with Trey Lance starting at quarterback.
You shouldn't be suspended if you get thrown at first, by the way.
I agree. I thought the suspension was weak. I thought the whole thing was really soft, but whatever. We do have Charles Robinson, who's a friend of the show.
Chuck Rob.
And probably applies the strongest amount of lotion to the face that I've ever seen. And he's actually really smart to do this because I found out the hard way our first trip to Oxnard.
Sunscreen.
You don't put the suntan lotion on. It's going to be, you're going to burn. You're going to burn.
Yeah. So, even at 72 degrees, it'll roast you.
Yeah, that was like a very big regret moment. Eric and I were kind of poking fun at Charles for this because it did look funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then we found out the hard way, oh my gosh, he's onto something here. But Charles is saying Tom Brady loves himself some Shador Sanders. Now, I've seen different reports. Tom Pelissero is saying there are teams that he's talked to that do not have Shador in the first round. They don't even have a first round grade on him. But Brady's opinion of Sanders per Yahoo Sports is that he has a tremendous amount of respect for him and his focus on preparation, his ability to learn and adapt, his accuracy and determination in the pocket, and his toughness to take hits and still be resilient. He's been told that Brady has also been impressed with Sanders' ability to avoid the pitfalls of being thrust onto the center stage of college football's limelight after transferring to Colorado and playing for his son, Deion. For the most part, Shador has never become a distraction. He's developed selfish tendencies or created issues with his public profile or fame that overshadowed the team. So he also stayed in school for 4 years and developed, which Brady likes. So if Brady has say and the Raiders are on the clock and Shador's still there, they're putting the link here that Shador's going to be a Raider and Brady loves him.
Yeah, I mean, and why not? You know, I think it makes a lot of sense. And you can look at any quarterback and find things that you don't like coming out of college. I mean, some of the best ones that played at schools with great lines and great weapons. And you're like, well, I don't even know what he's responsible for or how great the decision making is. Can he play under pressure? You know, Shador is as close to a prospect that you can easily see transitioning to the NFL and having success. I mean, the winning that he's done in college, the size, the accuracy, maybe he doesn't have the elite tools that you would want, but he's got enough of them to make him a clear, you know, top half of the first round pick.
He's an NFL quarterback. And honestly, I don't think this is a good quarterback class. I think he's the best of a bad quarterback class from what I've seen. Now, like if Garrett Nussmeier had to come out, I think Nuss has NFL ability. And I think it's probably smart. Much like you saw with Joe and Jaden Daniels, I expect Nuss to take a next step and maybe even be a Heisman winner next year for LSU. I think that it might be a benefit to him, but this is not a quarterback class that I'm looking at and saying to myself, like, if we're talking about Jalen Milroe as a first rounder, no disrespect to Jalen Milroe, but he should not be sniffing the first round of an NFL draft. And that's where we're looking because there's just not a lot of quarterback options and teams are desperate to find a quarterback.
I'll tell you what, if you watch the LSU game against Alabama, Milroe looks like a first round player, but you're right.
Just as a runner? Tremendous.
Yeah, he's not always accurate, and that's a big problem.
Now, Jackson Dart played his last game last night for Ole Miss. They get a win. Jordan Schultz reported that Jackson Dart from an NFL scout said that he's going to be a major steal in the draft. He throws the ball down the field as well as anyone, which I realize is kind of this lost skill in today's game, but that's what makes him so interesting. Get Dart a couple speed guys, and he can really hurt you. So maybe somebody takes a gamble on Jackson Dart in the mid-rounds, and you end up finding yourself a Dak Prescott or one of these guys that ends up being better than you think. So the quarterback stuff's going to be – it always is every year. But, like, last year I was looking at this draft like, we got some dudes here. We got guys that can play. This year, I don't know. I got a lot of question marks. And really, that's the first round for you. A lot of question marks with a lot of these players. Now, yesterday we watched Notre Dame and Georgia. You were telling us about this play. I missed it when it happened, where they get Georgia to go off sides. So Notre Dame basically substitutes all 11 players. They lined up for a punt. And they substituted all 11 players. And they switch and put their offense on. So now Georgia goes and substitutes. That's when they get called for the offside penalty. Kirby Smart was livid, and this was his response about it after the game.
Was there a thought to call a timeout there? I know you guys are down.
Yeah, didn't want to because they were going to, that's what they wanted. They wanted us to burn a timeout there and try to do it, and then we sucked. So it's really unfortunate because I've been told by our head of officials in the SEC that you can't do that. You can't run 11 on 11 off. We did it in 2017 against Tennessee. We've carried that. We've practiced that and repped that because teams try to do it. And we were told by officials you could not do that. And so we were trying to say you couldn't do it. We got our defense out there. We were fine. I mean, I would have gone for it if I was them. So I don't think they were planning on going for it. They were going to hard count us. And we prepare for that. We do it every week. And we jumped off sides. You know, but we also were told you couldn't do that in our league.
Was there a thought?
So the community notes on the old X went ahead and hit Kirby after this video was posted. It said the NCAA rulebook states that you can't substitute more than 11 players while the ball is in play. But a replay shows the long snapper had not gotten set or touched the ball before the mass substitution, making it a dead ball and a legal play. So you've got a tremendous job done here by the Fighting Irish and their
smart
head coach,
deep snapper.
Coach Freeman, and the deep snapper.
Touch the ball.
Give the long snapper some love here as well. But Marcus Freeman really just out-coaching Kirby Smart, and that's not something we see done a lot at all with Kirby. I mean, Kirby Smart, I think, did one of the best coaching jobs of the year. They go to Austin and make Steve Sarkisian, their offense, look putrid for a half. That was tremendous. But this one, tip of the cap to you, Marcus Freeman. Hell of a coaching job.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you don't usually see Kirby Smart getting duped like that in some of those situations.
Wasn't very smart.
No.
This was a rare time. Kirby was not smart. He was not. Okay, we talked fighting and Najee Marshall, and I guess we got a text in from the 817. Najee got four games because he went after Nurkic in the locker room. I guess that would explain it a little bit more because what we saw on the court I didn't think was enough.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're going to carry it on and you're going to try and go to the locker room, maybe that's when the NBA says, hey, we can't have this. Now, that's actually that's a good lead into here. So, busting with the boys, Taylor Lewan had an incident in his playing days with T.J. Watt. And they wanted to meet up and fight and figure this thing out afterwards. And this is how it went on Bustin' with the Boys with Alshon Jeffrey, former wide receiver of South Carolina, the Chicago Bears, and others. Take it away, Taylor.
Dude, I had a situation against the Steelers Thursday Night Football with T.J. Watt, and they're like, after the game, meet us outside the buses. And I'm in the locker room like, I got to go outside the buses.
A situation.
Bro, I walked out there, and I just waited by the buses, and I saw them walk out together, and I was like, I'm about to get my ass beat. After a football game, they kept walking, thank God.
What'd you do?
Don't worry about what I did.
Well, we're trying to get the whole story. He probably wants something. He probably doesn't know.
Yeah, what happened?
So here's the situation. T.J. Watt, rookie, he rushes the edge. I say something to him. He says, you're a look at the scoreboard, and I spit, and it hit him in the forehead.
Oh, now you being disrespectful.
Listen,
I see you are.
Yeah, listen, I have publicly apologized about this, and I'm 33 years old.
Publicly.
Now. I even went up to his brother, and I was like, tell TJ I'm sorry.
There's two things you don't do to a man. You slap or you spit on him.
So you're on the football field, DB spits in your face.
Nah, but after the game, we're going to finish the game.
You just said what happens in the...
I'm talking about when we go to shake hands. You talking about in the locker room. We're not going to make it there.
Dude, I had a situation
we're
not against
gonna make
the Steelers.
We're handling and taking care of business right now. But geez, Taylor Lewan big old boy that he was, just went. He went out there and answered the call. So I'm going to stand by the bus.
Some guys live by a code. They can't be challenged and back down.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's going to happen, and I would rather get whooped than walk away from it.
Impressive.
But the spitting thing, I mean, he's sort of fortunate that it didn't just go down immediately there.
You can't spit on it, dude. That's
incidental or not.
Yeah.
I think, you know, going back to the Najee Marshall thing, I think the refs need to have a little bit of leeway, like who started it, what happened? Dude spit on me. Is there video of that? Okay, yes, there is. Then you're fine. You know, spitter's gone. Whatever you did to him, that's water under the bridge at this point. Let's play on. You know, guy smushes your face. You take a swing at him, right? How are you getting more games than him? Okay, you went into the locker room. That makes it make sense.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that continuing.
Try to take it on a step further.
Yeah.
I get that.
But I love the fight this Mavs team has.
Oh, me too.
Maybe for the first time since Tyson Chandler was here, you feel like if there's a fight, the other team doesn't want to, you know, really take it too far because we got multiple dudes who, you know, are posturing and are big, strong guys.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no back down. The throw from P.J. Washington to get Nurkic off his feet, legendary.
No, it's a huge turn from a few years ago when they're losing to the Clippers and we're like, man, this team. You know,
can somebody please stop Marcus Morris from bullying Luka?
Can somebody stand up for Luka? And now you've got a bunch of guys like P.J. standing on business here. Now, I loved this. University of Washington senior linebacker Drew Fowler has made a statement. Now, everybody is doing their declaring, right? We're declaring for the NFL draft. Well, here he has declared for the job market. He said, I'm officially declaring for the job market. In other words, I need a job. And he posted this on the social media, thanking the Washington team and his players. And lastly, to his teammates, I know none of you guys read all of this. I love and appreciate you all, my brothers for life. But with that being said, I'm officially declaring for the job market. If you or anybody you know has an employment opportunity, I'm your guy. Gritty, hardworking, sneaky, athletic, locker room guy. Will bring my lunch pail to work. My LinkedIn is updated, and I am hashtag open to work. Thank you, Husky Nation. So here we have it. A guy that knows he's not going to the NFL, but instead of just declaring for the draft, he's now made fun of it, and he's declaring for the job market. Really, really well done here from senior linebacker Drew Fowler. Yeah, and honestly, he's now on my draft board.
There was a scout for the Houston Oilers at the time, C.O. Bricado. And when he met me later in life when I was with the Packers, he goes, Brian Bross, he goes, man, I failed you rejected you with the LSU Tigers. And I go, damn, CO, that wasn't that hard. I mean, you know, he was scouting all our players. He goes, Brian Bross, I failed you one time at LSU.
And so good.
I was just like, CO, not that hard.
That really is awesome.
Not that hard.
I heard you guys talking about this while we were out on vacation, but DeSean Jackson is now a head coach in college football at Delaware State, which is wild. I mean, I guess this continues the trend of guys getting jobs, but I agree with what you were saying there, Eric. Like, I did not envision DeSean Jackson being a guy that like would want to get into coaching, but hopefully maybe it ends up working out. Maybe he's great, but he's landed Antonio Gates Jr., the son of four-time first-team All-Pro tight end Antonio Gates, who played 16 years with the Chargers. So that's one of his first big high-profile commitment. The son of Antonio Gates Jr., going to play at Delaware State for DeSean Jackson.
Wow, how is this?
Transfer portal?
Four or five-star guy.
So he was 6'2", 195. He had 23 scholarship offers from schools like Arkansas, Penn State, Ohio State, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee.
That's legit.
So he had a lot of offers, and Michigan ultimately received his commitment. But now with DeSean Jackson taking the job, he has decided to stay closer to home and play for DeSean Jackson in Delaware State.
A lot of bus rides for that young man. Good luck to him.
A lot of bus rides.
A lot of bus rides.
Yeah, you had your chance to go to Michigan, and now you're going to go to Delaware State.
Yeah, but you want to play for a coach, you know, a well-known leader of men.
No doubt. And nobody will be able to let you know, hey, make sure you get into the end zone. Cross the end zone. Mm-hmm. Not
that's coaching point number one.
Before you decide to flip the ball backwards. Texas A&M has gained a commitment from Iowa State. Defensive lineman Tyler Onyedem. He was a 2023 All-Big 12 honorable mention. So he's going to return. He's a native of Texas. Went to Richmond. So he's going to come back, play for Texas A&M. So,
welcome home.
Hey, absolutely. Aggies are cleaning up this offseason so far. And then finally here, ESPN put out Major League Baseball's top 10 starting rotations, New Year's edition.
Okay.
Do the Texas Rangers crack the top 10?
Have to.
At number 10, you've got the Cubbies of Chicago. Number nine is the Houston Astros with Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, Luis Garcia, and Lance McCullers Jr. Overrated.
Oh, yeah.
Number eight.
That sounds average.
Is your Texas Rangers.
Number eight.
Let's go.
Nathan Eovaldi, John Gray, Jacob deGrom, Tyler Mahle, Kamar Rocker, and Cody Bradford, who you've got a chance to come and meet next week right here at our showroom.
Yeah, Thursday, 6 o'clock. Be here.
That's going to be a blast.
Rangers Hot Stove along with Marcus Simeon autographs. That's free. Live here.
And get yourself Alito's own Cody Bradford's autograph. The Twins, the Diamondbacks, after they just added Corbin Burns. Diamondbacks should be higher on this. Number six, that's too low. Burns, Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Brandon Pfaadt, Eduardo Rodriguez. You got Jordan Montgomery right now in your sixth spot. Like, come on.
You got DeGrom coming back with Eovaldi and Kamar Rocker? I don't know. Rangers should be higher.
Rangers have a chance to get higher, too. Yankees, they did add Max Fried, so that makes sense. The Dodgers at four, the Braves at three, Phillies at two, but number one is the Mariners inside the division with Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, George Kirby, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, and Emerson Hancock. Anytime you got a Hancock in your rotation,
tough to beat.
That's a formidable opponent right
there. Tough to beat, yeah.
Right on. Thank you, Wolchuk. Friday news dump coming up here. It's a tradition in the G-Bag Nation. Chief, where are you taking it?
Yes, we have a star NBA player suspended. We have some Quinn Ewers tea leaves and move over Robert Flores. There's a new fart man in town next in the nation.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back, Nation. Here we go. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Marcus Simeon, Cody Bradford signing autographs Thursday. Free Whataburger in the house. As the Rangers Winter Caravan is going to kick off, presented by Coca-Cola. That's next Thursday, 6 o'clock in our performance showroom. The autographs start at 6, and the Rangers Hot Stove is going to start at 7 o'clock. There's no sign-up. Just get here early for your home of the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. Time now for a Friday news dump. Here's the Chief.
Okay, the Miami Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler for 7 games for multiple instances of conduct detrimental to the team over the course of the season, and particularly the last several weeks. Through his actions and statements, he has shown he no longer wants to be a part of this team. Jimmy Butler and his representative have indicated that they wish to be traded. Therefore, we will listen to offers. That is the statement from the Miami Heat. So we had a rim sesh earlier, broke it all down, the Jimmy Butler stuff. He was very dissatisfied at the microphone with his usage as of late. He wants out of there, and apparently he's willing to go literally anywhere, which is pretty funny. But the Warriors are the odds-on favorite to land his services. So they've suspended him. Pat Riley doesn't mess around, man. He don't care.
Well, if the Warriors can get him without giving up much, do you think he's still a good enough player that he could make them a stronger contender? Or is that too much of a... gap to bridge?
I think it probably does make them immediately better, depending on what ultimately they have to give up from their roster. But does it really move the needle in making them a true championship contender in the West? My guess would be no.
If it's prime Jimmy Butler, probably.
Oh, prime Jimmy Butler, yeah. It's a completely different story. Now you have a lockdown defender, two-way player who can really take over a game, put the team on his back. You saw what he did in Miami. Like, he held up his end of the bargain for the most part with his tenure in Miami. I mean, you could make the argument that they haven't done enough to really put some dudes around him. You got Boston that's like, yeah, we're not quite there. We'll go get Drew Holiday and Porzingis and stuff like that. And Miami hasn't really done that. So I can understand why he's frustrated. And he's had some great postseason runs into the finals with teams that you never would have imagined that could get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, prime Jimmy Butler, that would be a needle mover. But this version of him, does it make him better? I would think so. But I don't see that making a huge difference in terms of them actually competing for a title this year.
Maybe Draymond Green, Dennis Schroeder, and Kuminga would, you know, get the salaries close enough to get that done. It'd be interesting. I'd love to see it, you know.
Yeah, I would too. I think it would be fun.
Does that just make them older, though?
It does.
Oh, it definitely makes them older.
But they got no chance now.
Yeah, and they're old. Right. I mean, even Kuminga, like, I get moving on from him. Like, the timeline doesn't fit. He's young.
Pathetic. Yeah.
They're trying to squeeze every last bit of a chance they have with Steph. And then they really do need to just blow it up and rebuild.
And I feel like with Butler, even though he's been a pain in the butt for the Heat over the last month or 2 months or whatever it is, once he gets to a new destination, it's fresh start. Everything's good. When he decides he doesn't like you or you're not loyal to him or whatever, he will make life miserable for you. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
but
totally.
Once he's at his new destination, it's a fresh, clean start. I think, you know, he'd fit in quite well.
Bobby Marks says that Jimmy Butler will be losing over $500,000 per game during his suspension.
Ooh. Ouch.
So that stings a little bit. But
I mean, Players Association might have something to help you out with, you know. There was nothing actionable. I was just a pain in your ass, you know. What's the real reason, you know? I'm just not being cooperative.
Yeah, I wonder
if about my role.
If they'll have a leg to stand on with something like that. Yeah, for sure. Okay, elsewhere here in the Friday news dump, this is big for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we already discussed the disrespect to Pat Mahomes not being a Pro Bowler. They're on the fast track to getting back to the Super Bowl. But this helps even more as the Chiefs are designating cornerback Jalen Watson to return from IR. And he has practiced today with the Chiefs. Now, that's not a household name, but that is a dude who is a true difference maker in that secondary. Super long physical corner. They traded L'Jarius Sneed, of course, and he was part of the reason why. They're like, we got this dude Watson. They, of course, have McDuffie. And so those two guys together are locked down, bona fide, man-to-man, Spags, you go do what you want with everybody else because we'll lock it up. And their defense came out of the gates on fire this year, and then he got hurt. And you can see their numbers trending in the wrong direction since then. Mm-hmm. Still a solid defense, but just not quite the same. Again, Spagnuolo wants to have two stud corners that he can trust to just go lock it man-to-man. And then he can have some fun with everybody else. And they haven't been able to do that for a good chunk of the season. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to come back. I mean, it was in October.
Yeah.
He had a broken fibula. And so they were crossing their fingers that he'd be able to come back, but they weren't totally sure. But apparently, designated to return, and probably in the postseason you'll get Jalen Watson, and that's just another shot in the arm for the Chiefs right now.
I thought watching Barron the other night from Texas, I thought I was watching McDuffie.
Yeah, I like that comp.
Well, my goodness, man, why isn't he the guy that you're pounding the table for the Cowboys?
I'd love John A. Barron.
I'm just saying.
That's a guy that I'd be all, that sounds amazing. I'm hearing Brian Branch and McDuffie.
Well, he's,
put a star on his helmet
now. I think he's more McDuffie than he is Branch.
Yeah, he doesn't play as much like safety. He's really kind of a true boundary corner, but either way, the Cowboys need a corner.
Put him in the nickel, put him on the outside. He can play either side.
He can play either side, and he can play in the nickel, and he tackles well.
It's McDuffie. That's what that's who he is. Same size, too.
That sounds like a surefire deal, but you would still go Ginty over him if you're on the clock and both are available?
Oh, I think Ginty's going to have a higher grip. They're both right there, but I would take, like I say, the Cowboys would probably take the corner before they would take the runner. I'm just saying, though, if I stacked him, I'd probably have the runner higher.
Sure.
That's me.
People just haven't caught on to Barron as much. Like, no. I haven't seen a lot of people have him in the first round.
Everybody wants to think that the Georgia safety is
Malachi Starks.
Starks is the guy.
I mean, I think Barron's better than Will Johnson, who they think
is he's absolutely better
the best
than Will
corner
Johnson.
In the draft, I'm seeing from a lot of people
out
of Michigan.
The kid Revell from East Carolina is a really good player, too. So, I mean, I would take Revell. I would take Barron. I'd take them both over Will Johnson from Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I haven't mentioned Barron as a first. I don't know. The league doesn't have him as a first rounder, at least mock drafts do right now, but I'd be interested in
Barron. No, he's going to be a first rounder.
But you've studied him, Broadus. Yeah. Have you, Walchuk?
Yeah, Barron's awesome.
Okay, so you both have him as a first round grade.
Yeah, guy. I do, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. That's a guy to get excited about, man. Okay, now we get the news today that Oregon is about to lose a 4-star quarterback into the transfer portal after he just signed during the transfer portal season.
So he's moving again? Oh.
So he just hopped on board as a 4-star quarterback, and now he is going to go back in the portal. We keep hearing about some team out there that's ready to give the fatty Boomba 1-year mercenary deal to Quinn Ewers. This feels like a move that precedes the inevitable Quinn Ewers to Oregon connection.
Oh, okay, I see what you're
like,
doing.
If this dude he's coming on in the portal.
He knows that Quinn's coming to Oregon. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that's my speculation. I'm just trying to connect dots here.
Yeah,
could be right. I mean, we keep hearing reports of $4, $5, $6 million a team's willing to give Quinn Ewers right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a no-brainer for Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, if I were Quinn, I'm taking that, and I'm staying in college and going to Oregon and whoever's offering this to me, because he's not going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, if that's the case, I mean, as a non-first-round pick, you're not looking at much guaranteed cash. Mm-hmm. You have to milk college for as much as possible before you go get exposed in the NFL. And maybe, you know, you have one of those change of sceneries that allow you to perform statistically a lot better. And the next thing you know, you are a first-round pick, so... It's a win-win.
I guess all it takes is one team.
Sure. You know, I want my agent to reach out. Am I a top 10 pick? If the answer is no, I'm going to get $6 million to play in college. It's on.
For a great team where you're probably going to be back in the playoff and just have another chance to prove.
If you go round two, you might not ever make $6 million in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I, again, this is sort of just speculation here, but a guy just goes to Oregon in the portal, and now he's like, oh, wait, never mind, because you guys are bringing it. Just, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one here. And then in regards to the Oregon Ducks, I would like to introduce you all to a gentleman named Oregon Wallen, who likes to do some parody songs. This song is about the 24 Ducks. It's sort of a love song, breakup song, and the analogy is the Ducks who just came up short.
Had that whole town believing, damn girl, I even had that talk with your dad man to man. But just like the season, girl, you and me didn't end with a ring on a hand. We got close, but close doesn't cut it. Another season that ends up with nothing but a 3x5 that you hide in a drawer. We swung for the natty but came up short. Although we won none, thought this would be the one. But sometimes life just sucks. So if we were a team, love was a game, we'd have been the 2024 Ducks.
They're down bad right now, dude. Expectations were high. We thought it was the year of the Dan. Dan Lanning gets out there and gets embarrassed by Ryan freaking Day, dude. Not a good time to be a Duck. Unless, of course, Quinn Ewers is on his way and you guys can revitalize everything that Quinn Ewers has ever done.
I mean, the biggest problem with Oregon has always been the lack of physicality. You know, they've always had the playmakers, but when you get in huge games and you know, the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, you know, was one of my favorite college football trips. I think this was after the 09 season. And it just became obvious in the first and second quarter. And I don't know, you know, with all of the transfer portal and NIL money and even the Phil Knight money, it's just a really difficult sell. And you're in a place where there's only one or two, like, legitimate Division I players in the entire state. You know, you go up to Seattle and, you know, there's the University of Washington right there. A lot of the kids want to go down to Los Angeles. The California kids don't want to go there. So, you know, as somebody that covered that program for a long time, I'm not surprised to see them consistently come up short when they meet, you know, great programs from bigger conferences. And even moving to the Big Ten, I don't think has changed it. You know, I'm not going to allow myself to believe that Oregon can actually get it done, especially running the gauntlet that you have to now through three or four games to get to the championship. I think it's as difficult as ever.
Well, we have a new entry into the Robert Flores fart mistake at the mic.
Mm. Nice.
Let's go. We go to C-SPAN, U.S. House Rep Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh.
And I don't know exactly. Does that mean he's a senator or something? I'm not really sure. But this is a political, very serious, live, at the mic, trying to get everybody fired up for what America's doing right now. Take it away, Hakeem.
The American dream possible. We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
Yes. Fart hard, boys.
Yeah.
Fart hard.
I mean, if you're bringing farce to the table, I think I'll back down pretty quick. Farting hard.
Oh. Bad day at the office, man. How do you, I mean, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth for sure. Now you got to just simmer in that all weekend long, thinking about the fart hard mistake that you just made. And somewhere Robert Flores is smiling, thinking, you know, I can move over and make a place for the new fart.
I'm done.
Yeah. There's a new king of the fart drop.
Incredible. Okay. Question for you guys, just sort of just brainstorming new adventures for 2025.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a new segment opportunity that we could drop in from time to time whenever it's deemed necessary. A segment called the Teabag Nation.
Okay.
Now bear with me. I imagine this being a segment where, you know, and I'm definitely not stealing My Buddy's an Idiot from the KNC Masterpiece.
Why would you ever do that?
But this is where you get to acknowledge anyone in sports or perhaps in your own life who needs to be teabagged.
Okay. You know, nobody comes to mind immediately. At least nobody that I want to, you know, broadcast over 100,000 watt blowtorch.
You don't think Parker Jones, for instance?
Parker
Georgia
Jones.
Fans probably feel like he needs to be teabagged right now.
I'm publicly. Telling you, if I was Parker, I would have walked straight to the airport really and gone somewhere else.
Feel awful for him.
Yeah.
I really do.
He needs another life somewhere else.
Bert Auburn in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. Bert.
Come on, Bert.
Nurkic for starting crap.
There you go. Know? There you go.
I teabagged the hell out of that guy.
If I found out that Najee Marshall went into the locker room after that game and dropped a teabag on on Yusuf, I think we'd all be standing up with an ovation there. So just something to ponder. And in the process of doing my obvious research for this particular potential segment, I discovered that teabags release billions, they're saying, of microplastics into your tea whenever you drop that bag in there.
Really?
So if you're a tea bag guy,
you should be making it more naturally.
I'm telling you, the microplastics, we know where they end up. Where do they end up, Wolchuk?
In the toilet?
Poop. The microplastics end up in your sack.
Oh, really?
Remember that?
They're
the whole study where hundreds of thousands of dudes are being tested for microplastics, and it came back 100% they all have microplastics in their sack. Mm. And so this is probably one of the ways that it is happening. So this is just a PSA. If you're a teabag guy, be careful, because the amounts of microplastics that are going right into your important place are in the number of billions.
Is there any way we could get like a natural hemp tea bag, you know, sort of a counter to this?
I'm sure there's
a way. I do like my tea, especially the CBD tea.
What if you're like my age
and
it doesn't matter? Like you're 61 years old.
I mean, choose your own destiny.
I could keep drinking tea.
Like, I mean, I've been drinking a ton of tea my whole life.
That's what I'm saying too. So
it wasn't difficult. But
tea bags, Tito's,
I need to check these tea bags out now.
And PSA for you, Dawson, there's a new Mark Wahlberg movie that is out. And this is actually
good. Sniper 3?
This is the one you want to put on the television because he's got this weird, like, Brian Broaddus, bald hair bit. And it's called Flight Risk. And he's just a true Captain Insano fella.
Okay.
He's apparently the antagonist in the movie. And he looks as bad as he's ever looked in a movie. So might be one to throw on just to reset the order of dominance in your house. Swing that pendulum back in your direction.
So it's a little bit more of a Beauty and the Beast situation here with this one. I don't know. I have PTSD from some of these Mark Wahlberg movies. It seems like within 15 minutes, he's going to be shirtless in gray sweats walking across his living room.
See, confirm that there's no shirtless scenes. All I know is that from the neck up, it's the worst he's ever looked.
He's balding.
No, that's a good start.
Yeah. The trailer looks fantastic.
It's got the full cul-de-sac thing.
I enjoy most of his movies. You know, I will say that. Yeah.
When he was Bob Lee Swagger in The Sniper?
Yes. Incredible.
Let's be real about that.
It's just, you know, I have like an ethical issue with the objectification of the male figure. You know what I'm saying?
It's totally fair.
For sure. It's not fair. It's not fair to the modern man that we have to deal with.
No, it's not fair, but it's fair to have that feeling.
Thank you. Thank you for having my back on that.
Because I agree. I just think we're being sexualized nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wahlberg and Hollywood, maybe the biggest offenders here.
Come on.
You know, so I'd ask him to clean it up.
So I guess we'll circle back on a definitive answer to whether or not we welcome in the Teabag Nation at any point this year.
I think it's got legs to it. I just need some time to prep.
Okay.
I got a daughter, dude. I'm kind of out on this one.
Well, thank you, Chief. A Friday news dump for the ages once again here. We'll hand it off to the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake Elliott have cooking here for you next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're going to crosstalk with Fred and Blake, see what the Fan After Dark has cooking. Yeah. But before we get there, Brian Broaddus has a special sports report.
Mm. Yeah, I've learned here that Dick is struggling to finish.
Read the report.
just verbatim.
Verbatim.
Is that Grady Dick?
Grady Dick.
This ranks, a basketball report?
This is Grady Dick ranks dead last in finishing. This includes alley-oops, cutting layups, driving layups, running layups, dunks, putbacks, and tips.
And tips, huh?
Dang. Maybe they want to try the backdoor cut.
And the picture says Dick struggling to finish is what it says.
he's literally dead balls last.
He's 512 finishing at the hole.
Ouch.
Wow. That's tough.
He was always a three-point shooter. He was good from distance.
Yeah. Slam dunk contest guy.
Glad I could help you guys out there.
Defense just throws him off, I guess.
Appreciate that. Was that from your basketball gang of seven?
No, not really.
We got 3 seconds to go. North Texas. Did they get one play? No, it was the game over. That was fourth down.
Oh, they call a flag on Texas State?
They did.
Looks like, yeah, he's pointing that way.
It's probably going to be offsetting.
Unsportsmanlike conduct after the play, probably.
Yeah, that's what it is.
15 yards and...
They'll celebrate. Hey.
30-28, Texas State wins the, I think this is the Texas Bowl, the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl.
There you go.
Did you guys hear the flyover earlier today?
I missed it. I missed
it. Dude, it was screaming. I thought at first it was like a motorcycle doing 150 miles an hour down Central.
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounded like. But then.
What was it, the B-2 bomber or something like that?
It was four jet fighters. I don't know if they were F-35s or what, but I'd never heard anything like it.
Now he's getting mad.
Wolchuk's all ticked.
Hopefully you got the fan cam on right now. You can see Wolchuk.
This is a moral victory.
Oh, he was like, well, damn, brother.
Hey, Drew Mestemaker did his best, all right? He did his best.
Half the teams in the portal right now.
They are in the damn portal. You go to North Texas, you have success, what's going to happen?
You're gone.
You're going to the portal.
That's it.
You should be proud of their effort, though.
I am proud. Now I'm getting teabagged because I'm proud of the effort.
No, I mean, I was just saying.
You piped down over there.
He was like,
you almost fumbled your own bowl game.
I appreciate you wrapping your arms around this new potential segment idea, Broadus. Thank you.
What, the teabag thing?
Wolchuk said you were teabagging him on that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Wolchuk this disappointed since the Cowboys announced they were bringing Zeke back.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Terrible.
I know, dude. That's what I like about your sports passion.
How long would Zeke last at UNT?
He could start.
He'd be in the portal.
What's coming up? O-line recruits in the
country. Have we determined that Blake's wearing his girlfriend's glasses today?
I wouldn't say just wearing. I'd say rocking.
You think you're in the Emerald City, bro.
I think the bigger the lens, the bigger the brain. So, you know, all of you non-seeing guys, like I'm looking straight across at my co-host.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try a pair of bifocals, huh?
I mean, if that's what those are. Are those you and your girl have the same prescription?
Like I said, the bigger the lens, the bigger the brain. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yes, it's the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
That's next?
Woo! We get to watch somebody get dunked in Mayo. This is the Dawson special right here.
No Dan Mullen for this game? I guess payoff. He's coaching.
He's coaching now. Yeah.
Are y'all all Mayo fans? I would assume.
Oh, heck yeah.
Not everybody.
Dawson. Okay. Thank you, Dawson. You have some sense, Chief. Yep. I'm assuming you love mayo, don't you?
I'm here for it.
Says the man who's good with spice over there.
Dawson, Dukes, we can be on the same.
Absolutely, dude. I'll detect mayonnaise in one part per million.
You do not want to be on.
Looks like Duke's has some really fine sauces that are coming out, though. Is this a honey sauce? They've branched out from the mayonnaise.
Well, they had to, right?
Well, do all these have mayonnaise base in them, I'm assuming? Still, kind of?
Certainly hope not.
Taste them and find out.
No, I'd rather not.
It's honey.
I don't want anything to do with mayo. It's repulsive to me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. If I taste it or smell it, it's going to ruin the entire dish.
Hey, I'm just glad I'm not alone because, you know, I'm berated on the text. I'm glad the general.
No, I got you.
How do you feel about Miracle Whip?
Same.
No. Yeah.
You hate that or sour cream more?
Probably Miracle Whip and mayonnaise.
Oof.
It's a close 1-2-3.
Lump
them
all together.
Where's cream cheese rank in there?
What do you put on your sandwiches?
Cream cheese. Where's it rank in
mustard.
The mayo? In the mayo.
It'd be fourth.
Have you noticed? There's a lot of similarities between the things that he doesn't like over here: the cream cheese, the sour cream, the mayonnaise.
But he loves the Miracle sugar cream.
I think there was a traumatic experience in the past.
I like Cool Whip.
Okay, you like Cool Whip.
Yeah.
All right.
You can eat that straight out of the tub.
Damn it.
Watch
two shakes, sir.
I've thought about that before, though, Wolchuk. What's coming up on the show, gentlemen?
What is coming up on the show? Well, it's the...
designer eyewear with Blake.
That's right. We are going to get into that.
And his girlfriend's purse as well that he brought up here.
I think he's wearing her sweatshirt, too.
Seriously.
You got her.
Mine have her sweats on, too.
My man is going straight to bed after this one.
Are we done?
Good night, honey.
I appreciate the welcome back. I haven't seen you
really
guys in a while.
Hang those clothes up, Blake. I'm going to wear them tomorrow.
So you guys, General asked what's on the show. So at 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing the player incentives that are still to be had in Week 18 for all you betting folks out there. At 8:20.
Who's going to make them? Blake QL special.
Yep, who's going to make them? At 8:20, we're going to be going against the defense. What fantasy defense, if you're still in the fantasy playoffs like myself, should you be playing based on all these players that are out? And then at 8:40, we'll make our NFL picks.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake here rocking the house with you 7-11. Thanks to Lucius Alexander back there in the Pimp Cup Master Control here. Just went 5 hours flawless once again. Thanks to Wolchuk and Shia Follow and Brian Broadus. Till Monday at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.